The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Parashat Toldos consists largely of the narrative of the conception and birth of Yaakov and Esav, the first portion of their lives, and their rivalry. The Balei Machshava say that the Midah of Yaakov is the Midah Ha'emes, the Midah of truth. This is based on the Pasuk in Micha, Titein Emes LiYaakov, Chesed LaAbraham. And the truth is that Rashi really makes a similar point on the Pasuk in Parashat Toldos, Vayigdalu HaNarim, Vayi Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sadeh, Yaakov Ishtam Yosheva Holim. What does it mean that Yaakov is Ishtam? Contrast to Esav. So Rashi says, Tam Einobaki B'chaleila. Esav engaged in fraud and deception. Yaakov is Einobaki B'chaleila. He's not expert. He's not well versed in these things. Elikalibo came pip. He was honest. He said whatever was actually in his heart. Misha Eino Charif L'Ramos Kari Tam. Someone who's not sharp in a cunning and conniving sense, is called a Tam. But this idea of the Balei Machshava, that Yaakov's Midah in general is a Midah of Emes, they themselves point out the great irony here, that Yaakov in particular, more so than many biblical figures, Yaakov seems to engage in Sheker and Mirma, in falsehood and deception, many times, against his father Yitzchak when he steals the brachos, against his brother Esav, buying the Bechara in the first place, telling him he would follow him to Seir later, Lavan, in the affair with the sticks and the sheep. Yaakov in particular seems to engage quite frequently in, maybe not outright falsehood always, but sometimes falsehood, Anochi Esav Becharecha, deception and fraud. So the Balei Machshava explain why they think that is. The truth is, Chazal themselves point out that even though Rashi says, Einabaki B'chaleila, Tam means, Ishtam means he was not well-versed in Ramos, Chazal say almost the opposite. They say Yaakov was a Baki B'Ramos. It says that when the Torah tells us in next parasha, in Parashas Vayetze, it says that when Yaakov met Rachel, it says that Yaakov told Rachel, Ki achi avihohu v'chi ven Rivko. He's Rivka's son. Also, he is her father's brother. The Gemara says he was not her father's brother. Her father was Lavan. He was not Lavan's brother. He was Ben Achos avihohu. Rivka was Lavan's sister, and he was Rivka's son. So he was Lavan's nephew. He wasn't Lavan's brother. So what does he mean when he says, Ki achi avihohu? So, Chazal explained the dialogue in Megillah and Bava Basra that when he proposed marriage to her, he said, marry me. She says, I would like to, but my father is a rami, and he's not going to let. So, he asked her, what's the ramos? So she said, I have an older sister, and he's going to make sure she gets married before me. Yaakov said, I'm not worried about Lavan. Achiv ani b'ramos. I am his brother, I'm his peer, I'm his equal in ramos. I can hold my own against him. So Rachel asked the question, Amrale umisharilu l'tzadiki l'sigui b'ramusa. You're a tzaddik. Is a tzaddik allowed to engage in ramos? So he said, yes, a tzaddik is allowed to engage in ramos. Im navar titabar v'imikesh titapal pasuk in Shmuel, that with someone who is honest and erlich, we engage in erlichkeit, v'imikesh titapal, someone who's an ikesh, someone like Lavan, who's a crook and who's a con man, then titapal, you engage with him in a corresponding and appropriate way. So then they set up the simanim, which Rachel ultimately betrayed because she was worried about humiliating Leah. Akalpanim, the Gemara here says, A, that Yaakov said, I am Achav ani b'Ramos, that I am his equal in Ramos, and he explicitly said, yes, this is Mutter, you're allowed to engage in Ramos, at least when you are responding to, when you're reacting to Ramos on the part of somebody else. A similar point is made by the Balei Tosfos. Balei Tosfos, again, in next week's Parsha, in the story with the sticks and the animals, so Yaakov seems to have done some kind of manipulation involving sticks in order to make sure that he won. So it's not clear exactly what the rules of their game were. Maybe the rules allowed that, but some seem to assume that that was actually cheating of a sort, that using the sticks to manipulate the outcome of the pregnancies of the animals was actually cheating. So the Tosa says, Tzadik Gomer ki Yaakov. The same Kasha Rachel asked Yaakov. The Balei Tosa asked, Tzadik Gomer ki Yaakov, Hechas Ramos, how could Yaakov possibly engage in such type of Ramos? So they give two terutzim, the Tosas Alatara, they give two terutzim, the same idea, basically that Lavan started cheating first, and Yaakov was simply cheating to counter, that Yaakov was cheating to counteract the cheating of Lavan. How was Lavan cheating? So either because when they removed some of the sheep, the Torah describes how Lavan took away some of the sheep before they began this procedure. He was supposed to take away only the small sheep, so Yaakov shouldn't claim that they were born as part of this procedure, but he took away the adult sheep also, which wasn't fair. Or he brings another pshat that Lavan was only supposed to remove the Nekudim, one type of colored sheep, and he took away the Akudim also, another type of sheep. So Lavan was cheating. So Yaakov just cheated to counteract the cheating of Lavan. And the Balitosis bring the same pasuk the Gemara brings, the imi kesh titapol, the same heter, the same justification. Cheating is wrong, but if you're dealing with a cheater, then you're allowed to cheat to simply hold your own and to stop him from cheating you. Other Rishonim ask more generally about Yaakov's conduct, that is a Navi allowed to lie, is a Tzadik allowed to lie, even putting aside the question of cheating, even just the mere fact of saying an untruth, are you allowed to do that? So then, Ibn Ezra, the Chizkuni, they say, yes, we find other Nevi'im also told untruths. Avram Avinu said, Sarah's his sister, and at the Akedah, he told his Na'arim that they're going to return, even though they weren't planning on returning, he didn't think Yitzhak was going to return. Various examples in Tanakh that even Nevi'im and Tzadikim lied when necessary. They both say that some people say it wasn't really a lie, Yaakov wasn't really lying when he said, Enochi Esav B'charecha, either you put a comma or a period, you say, Anochi, I am who I am, and Esav is your Bechar, or you read it, Anochi B'makum Esav B'charecha, I'm legally in place of Esav because I bought the Bechar. But they say, in general, they feel that the Nevi'im can lie, Tzadikim can lie when appropriate. They don't focus on Ramos, on fraud, as much as they focus on the mere act of saying a lie. Balkalpan and the Balitosis, echoing Chazal, discuss how Yaakov could have engaged in Ramos, and they give the same answer as the Gemara, in the Imi Kesh Titapol. In this year, we're going to discuss the halachic parameters of this principle of the Imi Kesh Titapol. Is this the halacha, and when is it the halacha, that a person is allowed to engage in fraud when the fraud is not trying to take unfair advantage of somebody else, the fraud is simply trying to protect his own rights against someone who is taking advantage of him? Couple of Gemaras that have bearing on this. One is the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, Rav Huna, the Amora Rav Huna, he met with a financial misfortune, 400 barrels of his wine spoiled, turned to vinegar. So the Gemara discusses how they realized it was chait, he must have done something wrong, so he said, what have I done wrong? Does anybody know anything I've done wrong that I deserve this punishment from Hashem? So they said, we know something you're doing wrong. They said, we heard that you don't give branches to your aris. You have a sharecropper. And the halacha is, in Bav Metzia, the sharecropper, after you harvest the grapes, when you cut off the grapes, when you prune the vines, and you have leftover branches, those branches are valuable. And the aris is supposed to receive a share of those branches, and you don't do that. You don't give the aris any of your branches. So you're guilty of stealing. You're guilty of taking the branches, shelo kedin, taking his share of the branches, shelo kedin. Rav Huna said, yes, I do that, but I'm justified. He steals from me. We all know that my aris is not honest, and he steals stuff from me. He steals more than he's entitled to in other areas. So all I'm doing, he takes more than he's entitled to, he steals from me. So all I'm doing is taking back what's really mine. They told him, maybe, that could be true, that you may be right, that all you're doing is taking back money that he stole from you, but you shouldn't do that anyway. They say, Ahainu d'amri inshi, that's what people say, there's an expression, Basar ganva ganov etam atayim, that if you steal from a ganav, you also taste gneva. You're also guilty of gneva, even though you're just stealing something from the ganav. Rav Huna conceded. He said, okay, I accept. I shouldn't take these branches from the aris. I'll give it back to him. I'll return the branches to him, and then his misfortune was erased. Either his vinegar reverted to being wine, or the price of vinegar rose, and Hashem made sure that he recovered his loss. So the Gemara says this principle that even if someone steals from you, you shouldn't engage in counter-stealing and stealing back because of this rule of basar gan v'gnov etamatam. Is this halacha? Is this an actual halacha? It's a story in the Gemara. Do we actually paskin like this? So the Rif, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch don't actually bring this din. There is an opinion, the Shoel and the Shoel Meshev, the Shoel Meshev's correspondent wanted to say with Midas Chasidus, but Lamai said there is a Mordechai who brings this halacha, as we'll discuss soon, and the Achronim, the Sholem Eshev and the Rav Palam say it is halacha l'maaseh. We see the Mordechai brings it. This wasn't just the Midas Chasidus of Rav Huna that they expected of Rav Huna. This is halacha l'maaseh, that despite the fact that you're just stealing to take back what's yours, shouldn't do that. Basar gan v'ganov etam etam. Now, the Riaz, in the Piskei Riaz, he acknowledges the question. We just had the Gemara in Megillah about Yaakov Avinu, when Rachel asked, is a tzaddik allowed to engage in Ramos? And the Gemara, Yaakov said yes. The Gemara says Yaakov said yes because of Imi Kesh Titapal. So why does the Gemara in Brachos say no? Basar ganav, you know, v'tamatayim, you shouldn't steal from the ganav. But here it says Imi Kesh Titapal. So the Riaz says something, and I don't fully understand what he says. The Riaz says that if an Aris, he brings the Gemara in Brachos, if your Aris is stealing from you, your Choshid is stealing from you, and taking more than he should, you can't take anything from the Aris unilaterally. You have to give him everything you owe him, and then take him to Beis Din. A person has no right to take money from somebody else, even if he feels it's for a legitimate claim, he should go to Beis Din. However, he said, that's the Gemara in Brachos. However, we also have the other principle, the principle of Imikei Chitapal. He says if your fellow man is an alum, is someone who's strong and doesn't follow the law, and he takes money from you ba'onis, you're allowed to be misnahig bo b'derech mirma. You're allowed to deal with him in a way of ramos to save what's yours. Shenemar of imikei shtitapal, as per the Gemara Megillah. Both Gemaras are true that if you have an alum, someone like Lavan, someone like who's cheating you because he's lawless, you're allowed to engage in mirma. But you also have the Gemara in Brachos. If your aris is you think he's taking money from your shaloka din, you shouldn't do anything. Then you should take him to Beis Din. He doesn't really explain exactly what the difference is. Maybe the alum is different from not an alum. Anyway, he assumes that both these things are lahalacha. Apparently, the Gemara in Brachos is lahalacha, but there's also somehow still room for the din of imi kesh titapol. And as we'll see, post can bring this riaz to actually allow halacha lemaisa in some cases. The attitude of imi kesh titapol. Now the Mordechai also deals with the Gemara in Brachos. The story of Rav Huna of Basar Gan Vaganov, he doesn't deal with imi kesh titapol, but the Mordechai has a different kasha. The Mordechai asks, we're saying in Brachos that you shouldn't steal even from a ganav because Basar Gan Vaganov etamatayim, that two wrongs don't make a right. You can't steal from a ganav, but in Bava Kamma there's a sugya of Avad Nishdin Lenafshei, that a person is allowed to engage in vigilante justice, he's allowed to unilaterally take money, stop somebody from doing shaloka din to him, to Achlokas and the Gemara, we pass like Rav Nachman, Avad Nishdin Lenafshei. So how do we square this with the Gemara in Brachos? Wasn't Rav Huna just engaged in Avad Nishdin Lenafshei? So the Mordechai says, Pasak Haram, that it depends. Chepet HaMavura, something concrete, he took your car, he took your screwdriver, you can seize it back. Avad Nishdin Lenafshei, you don't have to go to Beis Din. So something mavura, something definite that's yours, you're allowed to take it back. But to just seize other property because you have a claim against him, he stole your car, so you're just going to, you're going to take his screwdrivers, you're going to take his bicycles, that's not allowed. That's the Gemara in Brachos. Rav Huna said his Aris was stealing money from him, so he stole branches from the Aris. One has nothing to do with the other. That's the Gemara in Brachos. To actually take back the thing that he stole from you, that's Avad Nishdin Lenafshei, and that is okay. So that's what the Mordechai says, that Davar Mavur you're allowed to, and we don't say Basar Gan V'Ganov Etamatayim, but something that is not Mavur you're not allowed to take. And the Mordechai himself brings another Gemara in Bava Kamma, part of the same sugya of Avad Nishdin Lenafshei. The Gemara brings a brisa of Ben Bagbag. Ben Bagbag says if you have a claim against somebody else, you shouldn't sneak into his chatzer and steal b'derech g'neva, take something, because you're going to look like a ganav. Rather, just do it forthrightly. Just beat him up, shvara shinav, knock out his teeth, and say, this is mine, and I'm taking it. You shouldn't do it derech g'neva, you should do it using force. So that's what Ben Bagbag says. Then the Ben Ishchai, Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, in the Rav Pa'alam, he says that Ben Bagbag is mashma that even Davar Mavur, that Ben Bagbag is talking about a Davar Mavur, this is mine, shali ani notel. Nevertheless, the entire sugya of Avad Nishdin Lenafshei is only mutter to do it begoloi, to do it in an open and forthright manner, but to do it sneakily, surreptitiously, beramos, that would beseser, that would not be mutter. So Ben Bagbag is telling us that even when there is a heter, even when there is a heter, you have no right to take it, b'derech seser. So how can the Mordechai seems to say that the Mordechai seems to say that by Davar Mavur you can take it even Derech Seser. Not in the case of Rav Huna, not because it wasn't Davar Mavur, but taking something, Rav Huna wasn't doing anything begoli, he wasn't saying Shvar Hashina, he was just withholding some of the branches. And the Mordechai seems to say that would be mutter by a Davar Mavur. So how do we square these different memras? So the Rav Pa'alim says that there are two conditions that he says as follows. He says that normally, even a Davar Mavur, you shouldn't take B'derech Mirma. That's Ben Bagbag. However, that's only if you have the eitz of doing it publicly. If you're strong enough to do it, if you can do it without Seser, without Mirma, that's how you should do it. That's what Ben Bagbag is telling you. However, if you can't, either because he's stronger than you and you're not going to win in a fair fight, or for whatever reason he says it's not a practical solution, if taking it begaloi, befarhesia, openly is not going to work, then you can take it even beseser, as long as it is a davar mavur. So a davar mavur, and there's no eitz of taking it begaloi, you can take beseser. A davar that's not mavur, like in the case of Rav Huna, then if it's not mavur, you can't take it at all. And even a davar that is mavurar, even something concrete that he has that's yours, if you could take it begali, you should take it begali. Now, both Rav Pa'alim and his analysis tracks largely that of the Sholem Eshev, of Yosef Shaul Nathanson. They both discuss very similar questions. They were both discussing partners, people who had business associates, and one of them knew, more than just believed, he was convinced that the other party was cheating him and was taking money shelo kedin. And he wanted to he had the power to hold back some of the money on his own and not give it to the other side, to just take back what was really his. In the case of the Sholem Eshev, there was actually a shlish. There was actually, some of the money was in escrow. This person actually wanted to convince the shlish to cooperate with him and turn over some of the money to him. The shlish said, I can't do that, even if you're right. I'm a shlish, I'm trusted. I can't act go behind his back. So the Sholem Eshev says, you're right, the shlish himself can't cooperate with this, but you yourself... He discusses if you yourself can sneak money away from the shlish without getting caught, they will have to do that. So both the Sholem Eshev and the Rav Pa'alim discuss this Mordechai, discuss Ben Bagbag, discuss the Sugi and Brachas, and they both conclude similarly that if it's a Chepetz Mavurar, you're allowed to. The Rav Pa'alim says even Chepetz Mavurar, according to Ben Bagbag, you can only take surreptitiously the Mirma if there's no way to take it openly in public, but at least in that case, if the Gavra Olim, or for whatever reason you can't do it in public, that a Chefetz Mavur you can. A Chefetz is not Mavur, just seizing one asset because he has your car, so you'll steal his car. Something that's not the same asset that he took, you cannot do, and that's the Gemara of Rav Huna. Now, the Sholem Eshev in the Sukkuk, what about money? In the common case today is where he cheated you, so he has some of your money, and you're going to take some of his money. It's all money, and money's fungible. It's not exactly the same money, but it's basically the same. It's just money connected money. So the Sholem Eshev has as far as Zuzi Bezuzi, Zuzi Zuzi Inun, that they're basically all the money is interchangeable. Sholem Eshev is mesupik about it. He says that, you know, one money is the same as another money, even though the Mordechai says that if it's not a Chefetz Mavurar, then you shouldn't be taking it. But Zuzi Kazuzi says, if it's the same money, the Sholem Eshev is Mesupik, and doesn't have a clear conclusion. The Rav Pa'alim says it seems that the Maskana of the Sholem Eshev is that he would consider Zuzi like a Chefetz Mavurar. So the Maskana of the Rav Pa'alim, following largely the analysis of the Sholem Eshev, is that if three conditions are met, he says, A, you're sure, you're absolutely sure that he stole from you, and you're absolutely sure how much he stole from you, and B, he says that it's money, where we say the svara of Zuzi Bezuzi Nechshavim, it's all the same money, it's not a question of a Chefetz Mavur and you're stealing something else, and C, he says that you can't do it publicly, he's a Gavra Alma, so there's no way for you to get away with doing it forthrightly. If all these conditions are met, he says, then we say Abdin Nishtin L'Nafshei, in such a case, Ben Bagbag Zdin is only L'Chatchila, if you have an eitzah of doing it Pagali. The din of Basra Ganva Ginov V'tama Toim is only if it's not a Chefetz Mavur, if you're taking something else. But if you're just taking money, Zuzi Kazuzi, and there's no way to do it begali, and you're sure you know exactly how much it is, then he says you're allowed to do it. That is his Maskana. Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the author of the Rav Pa'alim, actually has a similar ruling, a very different analysis, but a similar ruling in another Sefer of his, in the Sefer Torah Lishma, originally published anonymously, but it's generally believed to be also by the same author, by the Rav Pa'alim. He talks about a case that there was, a Yerusha case. There was a woman, a daughter, who refused to acknowledge Din Torah. She refused to follow Din Torah, and accept that the Yerusha goes only to the sons, and she was suing in court. She didn't care about the halacha, she didn't care about the issur of going to court. She was going to make sure through the legal process that she was going to get her share of the Yerusha, the share that was granted to her by non-Jewish law. Alpidin Tara, since she had brothers, since there were sons, she gets nothing. So the question was, a rather provocative question, the question was, can they forge a will? Can they forge a will, some kind of document from the father that would say that he gave all the money to his sons, because that would make sure that, again, she's taking money, Shalok Adin, Alpidin Tara, she's not entitled to it, so let's forge a will. So the proper heirs, the Yarshim, the male Yarshim, should get the money. Maybe it's Aser, maybe it's Midrash Shekhar Terchak, and he can't do that. We don't say Chatei B'Shkol Shieska Chavercha, maybe you can't do that. Says the Torah Lishma, in principle, similar to his other tshuva, Vadai Shari, definitely Mutter. Here he does not bring any of the same sources, he doesn't get into the whole sugya of Basar Gan V'Ginov. He discusses it from the perspective of Emes and Shekhar. Is this considered lying? He says it's not Shekhar. He says, Chazal said, Mutter L'Shanet Pnei HaShalom, Pnei Darche Shalom. To promote Shalom, you're allowed to lie. This is better than Shalom, he says. He says, raising the Degel HaTorah, he says, Ein Lecha Shalom Gadol Mizeh. And enforcing in Torah, Ein Lecha Shalom Gadol Mizeh, he says. However, in principle, he says, it's definitely Mutter. In practice, he says, you should be very careful before doing such a thing. For practical reasons, he says, it can cause a Chilul Hashem. He says, you should weigh this course of action very carefully. And people should have a focus on Yerush Shemayim. And they should be roam heitiv es hanolad, what the consequences might be. It can be a chilul Hashem, chas v'shalom. If they'll find out about it, then certainly, then you definitely shouldn't do it. Ein lecha davar shom v'nei chilul Hashem. Even though you're doing it l'hakim degel haTorah, if you're going to get caught, then there'll be a chilul Hashem. It's not worth it. So you need eitza, he said, and hisyashvus, and chachma, betuna, v'das. But in principle, he says, this is mutter because of mutter l'shana, v'nei shalom, and kol shkein to raise the degel haTorah. So his actual ruling is very similar to the Rav Pahalim, that if someone is acting Shalok Adin, you're allowed to engage in Sheker to enforce Din Torah. But in the Rav Pahalim, there he has a detailed analysis in terms of the sugyas in Bava Kama and in Brachos, while here in the Torah Lishma, he just says a simple matter of Mutter L'Shanas Pnei HaShalom to forge the will. There are similar rulings about Sheker in order to enforce Din Torah in the Kadmonim, Gedolei Harishonim and Achronim. Mari ben Lev brings from the Balat Trumas, in the name of Rashi Ragon, someone owes money, and for whatever reason we can't enforce it in Din Torah. Now there's a court. The non-Jews have a court, and it's an honest court. It's not corrupt. It doesn't take bribes. They accept testimony. But we don't have the kind of testimony that they would, we don't have the kind of testimony that they would want. We're allowed to testify, he says. And he says, certainly we can testify, there's no issur of our kos. And even saying sheker, they talk about, can we tell a sheker? They bring a shiloh about it, can we say sheker? I think his actual ruling is that we can. He says, why can you say sheker? Because he says, it's dvarim hamavim l'tachlis, it brings to the tachlis of, again, like the Torah Lishma said, of getting the money to go where Din Torah says it should go, kivan shah tachlis to emes v'yatziv, shuchaya v'osuchiyuv. So the Mesopic, at least, and I think this is the Achra that they allow it, but they're at least Mesopic, that you're allowed to Meshaker because the Tachlis is Emes, that the Tachlis is Emes V'yatziv, that the money should go where it's supposed to go. Now, connected all these lenient rulings of the Shalom Eshev, of the Rav Pahalim, of this discussion of Rashi Ragon, there is a Tshuva to Rashba. The Rashba has a position, a more stringent view. The Rashba has a ringing, passionate rejection of such a policy. He brings the sugya in Bava Kama that Abba Nishdin L'Nafshei, and everyone really agrees Abba Nishdin L'Nafshei in cases of Pseida, where there's no other solution, he says, and we pass even Machum Delek of Pseida, there's Abba Nishdin L'Nafshei. Are you allowed to actually say a Sheker in order to accomplish the goal of of enforcing your rights? Brings the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim, that a person brought a document into Beis Din and he confessed, he whispered to the Dayan, this is not really a legitimate shtar is Zayfahu, but I had a shtar, I lost it, so I forged this shtar instead, because I wanted to bring something in. Are you really allowed to do that? Are you allowed to say sheker? Are you allowed to forge documents? Because after all, you're right, you have a shtar, he's lying, you lost your shtar, he's taking advantage of the fact that you lost your shtar to try to cheat you, so all you're doing is trying to secure your rights by creating a false shtar. Is that mutter or not that you're allowed to do such a thing? The Rashba is appalled. The Rashba says, Chasle Lazara Davram. a Jew, chas v'shalom for a Jew to do such a thing, to say a sheker, even if he stands to lose money, she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yidab ruchazav, Jews do not lie, he says. Brings the Gemara in Shavuos, the Midrash Sheker Terchak applies even in cases where it's in the service of something that you're entitled to, he says. That Gemara, he says, if you really want to follow that Gemara, you'd actually be allowed to forge documents. It's chas v'shalom to say such a thing, he says. Elavadai, the Rashba winds up. Sonei ha-sheker v'ahuv ha-emes. Sheker is hateful. Truth is beloved. Ve'ein t'murasso klipaz. Nothing is equal to emes. Kalim of fine gold are not the same as emes. And emes is priceless. Emes is above everything. Chas v'shalom to lie. So, unlike all these other poskim, who seem to allow some level of mirma and deception in the service of the right, of enforcing rights that you have, the Rashba says saying sheker is absolutely aser. In the Sefer, how the Rashba deals with the Gemara of Yaakov Avinu, Imike Shitapol, Ramos, maybe that wasn't outright sheker, he's going to learn, all these examples aren't, they're doing things sneakily, they weren't absolute sheker, but if you're actually saying sheker, the Rashba says, Sonei ha-sheker v'ohu fa'emes, ve'ein t'murasso klipaz. In the Sefer Mishpatech al Yaakov, a contemporary work by Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov, he discusses a classic case, a modern case that comes up in various forms, of, again, a worker who is being cheated by his employer, and he wants to counter-cheat to secure his rights. In the story he's talking about, the boss is planning on paying at 80 shekel an hour, and the worker says that we made up 100 shekel an hour. I don't have written proof. We didn't write it down. Now my boss is saying he only promised 80 shekel an hour, and I can't prove it. He's only going to pay me at 80 shekel an hour. So in order to get the missing 20 shekel an hour, I want to inflate my hours. I want to add 50 hours of work, 50 fictitious hours, to secure the full compensation that I'm entitled to. I'm not going to take a penny more or a shekel more than I'm entitled to, but I want to take the money that I am entitled to. Are you allowed to do that? So he has a long analysis of this whole sugya of whether you're allowed to engage in sheker in order to secure money that you're really entitled to. He brings the Chuvah to Rashba, who says, absolutely not. Sonei ha-sheker v'ohuv ha-emes v'ein t'murasso klipaz. That you're not allowed to do such a thing. So he suggests, he says, maybe the Rashba is talking about in Beis Din. There's a discussion of the Rishonim, the whole issue of Midrash Sheker Tirchak. All the Gemara's examples in Masechah Shavuos are about Beis Din. The Rasa Mushei Midaraisa. The issue of Sheker is only in Beis Din. So maybe the Rashba, with all his Chomer, the Rashba's examples were in Beis Din. The Gemara in Gachin V'Lachish and Bava Basra was in Beis Din. So the thing, maybe the Rashba, the Rashba's uncompromising refusal to allow any kind of Sheker, as per the Lashon of the Shaila of the Rashba and the Rai from Bava Basra, all that is talking about lying in Beis Din. Maybe outside Beis Din, you have the Riaz. We had the Riaz earlier. The Riaz said that based on the Gemara and Megillah, in the case Shita Paul, you are allowed to lie. You are allowed to lie in general against the Rama. Maybe the Rashba would agree. Maybe the Rashba's whole objection is in Beis Din. However, he says, the Riaz himself makes a distinction between an Alam and someone who's not an Alam. We didn't fully understand the distinction, but he also invokes that distinction. Maybe in our case, he said, maybe the employer is acting in good faith, and maybe that wouldn't be a Hetzer. Al-Kalpanim, he says, maybe the Rashba is limited to a case. Maybe the Rashba is limited to the case of lying in Beis Din. It doesn't sound so much like that from the conclusion of the Rashba. Sonei ha-sheker v'ahu v'emes v'ein t'murasu klipaz she'eris Yisrael le'yasu avloi d'abruchazav. It sounds from the Rashba that he just has an absolute abhorrence of sheker, but it's possible the Rashba really means that his objection is to sheker in Beis Din. We'll close with a discussion by Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. He talks about a case of there were protesters, people who obstructed traffic in the protest against the expulsion, the traumatic expulsion in Eretz Yisrael from the areas they were expelled. This fellow was arrested and he was going to be punished. His lawyer advised him to deny everything, that the prosecution didn't have evidence of what he had done. The lawyer said, deny it. And if you don't admit it, you'll be innocent. You'll be acquitted. I'm not sure how the Israeli legal system works in the U.S. You don't have to deny anything. You don't have to testify. They have to prove it. You don't have to say anything at all. It's not your job to answer questions. But somehow in this legal proceeding, it sounds like he would have had to lie. That his lawyer said if you lie, his lawyer actually advised him to lie. Lawyers are generally not supposed to do that either, at least in the U.S. legal system. But his lawyer advised him to lie. The fellow asked Rabbi Malamed, he said, it's hard for me to lie. It's true, I was there. I did block traffic. I was in the road. I did block traffic. So how can I lie? The lawyer didn't understand the problem. That's how the game works, he said. You lie. He got angry at me. He said, everyone listens to their lawyers. Why are you making tzaras? He says, you should lie. The fellow asked various lawyers. They all told him that every good lawyer would tell his client to lie in such a case. Am I allowed to lie as per the recommendation of the lawyers to avoid getting convicted and punished for my crime? So Rabbi Malamed says, Rabbi Elazar Malamed says, I've been asked similar questions many times, and I'm not really sure what to answer, he says. On the one hand, Midrash Sheker Tirchak, particularly in court telling the truth is especially important, Mishpat and everything. On the other hand, he says that in this case, if you tell the truth that you're going to be guilty, you're a tzaddik, you were protesting properly, he said, and the Rishayim are going to be successful. Rabbi Malamed is apparently not too sympathetic with the expulsion. So he says, practically, I couldn't decide what to answer, so I delayed the tshuva for several months. Why? He explains, leheter leyachalti, to be matter lying, I just couldn't do. But lesser, it didn't seem right to me to ask her either, so I felt I just couldn't give an answer. So, what's the halach, he says. He says, subsequently, he heard from various legal experts that the court system is not fair, that they treated those guilty of protesting the expulsion, they treated them in a terribly unfair way, more so than other criminals of a similar who committed similar petty crimes. Therefore, he says, at this point, I am going to recommend that you do follow the advice of the lawyers. As people say, he says, I would have said, as it says, Imikesh Titapal, which he brings subsequently. Instead, he brings Amri Inshi, Baroma Hishnai Kiromai. When in Rome, do like the Romans. He says, when you're in court, so follow the rules of court. If all the legal people say that's how court works, then that's what you should do. If the court itself, if the system, particularly if the system is so unfair and the system discriminates and it's not a fair system, you're entitled to utilize whatever tactics you can and to play the game according to the rules, and you should lie. And if you ask me, he says, that if someone's going to say, Abel ha'emes chashuva me'akol, truth is the most important thing in the world, which, again, is very similar to what the Rashba says, that sonei ha'sheker v'ov ha'emes v'ein tzvuraso klipaz, there is nothing as valuable as truth, says Rabbi Malamed, reductio ad absurdum, let's take this to an extreme. Someone's in Russia, and he's arrested by the KGB, and they're interrogating him. Should he tell the truth? Should he tell the truth about his friends and get them all locked up in Siberia? He says, of course not, he says, that we find Yaakov with regard to the brachas, we find that he did engage in Ramos, and we find the Chacham said in Megillah about Rachel and Yaakov, and Rachel, about when Yaakov said he would engage in Ramos against Lavan, Rachel said, are you allowed to do that? Is a tzaddik allowed to be a Ramah? And he said, yes, because against the Ramah, you're allowed to. Im navar titabar, im ikesh titapal. So, I think everyone would agree, certainly about the KGB in Russia, everyone's going to agree that you shouldn't give over your friends to Siberia because of a misguided respect for the truth. On the other hand, the Hizkasha, Hemes Chashuv Me'akol, the Rashba does actually say this. The Rashba says, when it comes to at least financial questions, maybe jail is different, maybe the system is so corrupt it's different, but the Rashba does say, Hemes Chashuv Me'akol, that Ein Tmarasa Klipaz. Rabbi Malamed felt, in this case, where people were, he felt, being terribly unfairly prosecuted, having the book thrown at them for their activities in the protest against the expulsion, he says, in such a case, he's willing to apply the rule of the Gemara and Megillah, Im Navar Titabar, Im Ikesh Titapal.
The Beis Chabad on the Parsha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultations, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.